Let's just get into some Bible. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book. Thank you. Book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. We're in verse 12. We'll be going from verse 12 on down to the end of chapter 4 into verse 19. While you're turning there, a few quick announcements and a prayer request. I guess I'll start with a prayer request. I should have asked for this before Jim prayed, but my wife and kids are at home. My wife is at home battling nausea and everything that goes along with being pregnant for 9 weeks. And then also our first son, Kyohei, has a fever and no appetite. So just please lift them up in prayer. And my other son, Kenzo, he's just mad. He can't come to church. He's crying and crying. I want to go to church. So, yeah, that's good. That's good. But also, we've got the potluck when this is finished. Please join us downstairs. I haven't double-checked, to be honest with you, if the SmileCon is open. So it's either downstairs or at the SmileCon, whichever. An important announcement is a couple of ministry opportunities for those of you here. First of all, for those of you here who are visiting, maybe for the first time or just passing through, welcome. So nice to see you. But for those of you here who have been here a little bit longer and have still not been able to plug yourself in terms of a service or a ministry of some kind, I want to let you know of a couple things. One is the offering prayer. We need somebody who can coordinate the offering prayer. It's a small thing, but if it's on your heart and the Lord says you can coordinate at least 4 people every month to pray for the offering, that would be great. We really need that. So please. And then also a couple of things. This is just off the top of my head, but we don't have anyone who officially greets people when they come in at the beginning of the service from 1:15 to 1:30. You know, it'd be nice to have somebody with a handshake, a smile, and a bulletin right there for you. But that's one thing. And also, this month, we're going to have, as a church, the year annual report. And our church is responsible for turning in a report of all the things that we've done this year, how many people have come, how many people have gone back to their home country, how much money we've given overseas or for missions, and you know, how many baptisms, all those kinds of things. I'm terrible with keeping records. It's fallen on me the past few years, and I've been just miserable at it, and Hiroshi is not happy with me when it comes to those things. If you are good at just being here every week and taking a note of who comes and who goes and all that kind of stuff, if you're good at that, administrative or just note-taking stuff, let me know. That's a ministry opportunity. That's a way to serve the Lord. Because here's why. That annual report is a very vital connection to the Japanese service. This is a Japanese church, and we are the English-speaking cousins, so to speak. And so they hardly see us that much if they're in and out, you know, in the morning, and we hardly see them if you don't come earlier than 1 o'clock. So one of the biggest ways that we connect with them is through this annual report. So it is a ministry, and it is a big part of service. So please consider that. And I want to ask you to consider it if you haven't found something to do here yet. I don't like the 80-20 principle where 80% of the people come and sit and receive and only 20% do everything. I want you to feel like if I've been coming here and I feel like I've joined this church, then join us in service as well. So if the Lord lays that on your heart, please talk to me after the service or throughout the week. Send me an email. Okay, let's get into our word for today. Let's read. We're going to read from verse 12 on through to verse 19. Tachan has graciously put it up on the screen for us. But, of course, read along in your Bible. We're in the NIV 1984. Okay, so let's read verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. The very words of God. Amen. Okay. This summer, I visited a place that I resolved one of these days I'm going to take my children to visit sometime in my lifetime, in their lifetime. About 2 hours from here, you can drive to a small town in Shimane called Tsuwano. Tsuwano is still a very small town, and its main business is tourism. There, about 140 years ago, 36 Christians gave their life for Jesus Christ. This was back when, in the Meiji era, 1868-9, when the doors were opened for foreign trade, churches were established in Nagasaki, and the French built a church in Nagasaki. One day, the priest who was serving in that church was walking through his sanctuary, and he saw some Japanese people. This is the first time Japanese people had stepped foot into his church, and they pointed to the cross, and they said, "Yesu?" And the Frenchman said, "Yes, oui, Yesu." And it turned out they had been underground Christians who had kept their faith for 200 plus years, and it was their first time to go into a church in generations. Eventually, laws became more strict, and Christianity was outlawed, particularly among Japanese. Lots of Japanese, about 1,500 Japanese, were deported out of their own towns and sent across the country to various small cities in jails, to be jailed and to be brainwashed out of Christianity. And Tsuwano was one of those towns. And I visited that town with my school. My school is a Catholic school, and we take some students out to various places to study about Christianity in Japan. I had never been there, and I learned the story there. This is one of the books you can get at the shop at the cathedral that's dedicated to those Christians. You can get it from me. I'm happy to lend it to you. If you're more high-tech, I'll give you the link to the page where you can read this. This is all online. But this was written by a Catholic father who studied those events. There were testimonies given for those who survived those events. I just want to share with you briefly, because I think it has a special bearing on our scripture today. The only picture I took there was of a stone. You go up this pass, this pathway in the mountains, and there's a rock, and it has 36 names on them. These are the names of those Christians who died while being imprisoned in Tsuwano at Otome Toge, the Pass of the Virgin. And I just felt honored to just have a picture taken with these great Christians. And one of the names was Wasaburo. He was the first Christian to die. It turns out that their imprisonment and their brainwashing wasn't working. So they decided they're going to do something more severe. They would put them in a cage of 3 feet by 3 feet, about a meter and a meter, so not bigger than this altar here. And they would set them out. This is in October, November of 1868, 1869. And the first one was Wasaburo. He was there for 20 days, cold, hungry, stripped naked, and he was the first one to give his life because he was a Christian in Japan. The next one, story I just want to let you know about is a man named Yujiro. Yujiro also was subjected to this cage, and the leaders of his group managed to dig a hole in their prison, sneak outside, and go to his cage at night. And they say, "Yujiro, Yujiro, how are you doing?" He says, "I'm doing great." And he'd been there for about 2 weeks. And they said, "You know, is there anything you need?" And he says, "No, I'm fine. The Lord is with me." And one thing that really struck out to me is they asked him, they said, "Yujiro, Yujiro, if ever we have a chance to contact your mother, what would you like us to tell her?" And his answer was, "Please tell her that I am happy to die here. I am on the cross with our Lord Jesus." Excuse me, that was not Yujiro, that was Yasutaro. Excuse me, Yasutaro. The last one I wanted to tell you about was a guy named Yujiro. Yasutaro was 27 years old. Yujiro, 16 year old. This is 14 years old. The same age as the students I teach right now. Yujiro, a 14 year old, was subjected to the cage treatment. Didn't work. So they instead took him. This is a 14 year old kid. Okay, junior high, high school. They laid some bamboo strips on the ground, and they made him kneel, Seiza style, both knees, and he sat Seiza style. They stripped him naked, and they whipped him again and again. And when he still would not deny Jesus Christ, they poured cold water, freezing water, November, middle of November, onto him, and they whipped him again and again. Still wouldn't do it. His body began to turn purple, and so the prisoner said, "Okay, I don't want him to die yet. Let's put him back with his sister." His sister gets him, and she just wraps him and so that she can warm his body with her body. He revives, and he says, "Sister, I'm so sorry. I was, you know, yelping and weeping. I was so weak." And she says, "No, you're doing fine. You did great. It must have been terrible." And he says, "Well, after about the eighth day, the Lord spoke to me. I was getting whipped, and I looked up at the temple wall." The prison was a temple, by the way. And he saw a little baby sparrow who was crying out. And as the baby sparrow was crying out, the mother sparrow came and put some food in his mouth. And he stopped crying. And he realized, "Oh, how good God is. That even though I cry out, God is with me. My Father is helping me and feeding me and giving me the strength to suffer well for Jesus." He told his sister that a few days later, he gave his life and he died. Just some real stories I wanted to share with you, because our scripture is directly related to this kind of suffering. The church that Peter is writing to is experiencing beatings, purgings, whippings, terrible treatment, and it will escalate by the year 202. The Emperor Nero would be burning Christians on stakes to light up his palace. Another Emperor Severus in 202 would be throwing them to lions, bears, and leopards in the arena. This was real suffering that Christians were experiencing, and Peter was talking to them. And so we have in our scripture today Peter's words to his people in verse 12. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering." So it's a painful trial. We're talking about trials, talking about difficulties of the most severe kind. And some of you here are not experiencing, and we will not experience that in this 21st century culture in Japan. But we do experience real difficulty, real pain, Even for some, one pastor says, it's one thing to die for Jesus. It's almost easier to die than to have to live day after day for Jesus Christ, being subjected to maltreatment daily. And some of us are going through that. And so this is a word of encouragement. First of all, I just want to get into the text. Peter talks about the kinds of suffering they have. They're called fiery trials, painful tests. In verse 13, he calls it the sufferings of Christ. In verse 14, they're suffering insult. They're being insulted. In verse 16, it's suffering as a Christian. So all these different kinds of suffering and insult, trials. And the summary of all these forms of suffering, all these kinds of suffering, he gives in verse 19. He says, those who suffer according to God's will. Suffering as an insult, being mistreated, the sufferings of Christ, all those things, the fiery ordeals, they are all according to God's will. This is hard for anybody who has a problem with suffering. Me, okay? Because I think God has put me here to be comfortable and happy and warm and cool. And yet we have here the very words that says it is God's will that we suffer. Very challenging. But the exhortation in verse 19, he says, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So there's an exhortation, a final word that says, look, out of all these things, this is what you got to do. You need to commit yourself to your faithful Creator. So what does it mean to commit yourself? The word in Greek means to entrust for the care and the keep of. If something is out of your control, if something is just over your head that you can't fix, that to leave the matter to God in prayer, in fasting, in worship, is to commit yourself to God. To let God pay back every insult and every false accusation. I get this a lot. I feel like I have to bite back. I feel like I have to return that nasty word. I feel like I have to reply to that email. I feel like I have to give some smart aleck answer to some kind of word against my faith or the church. But it says to commit yourself to God. Because it is God who repays. It is God to avenge. It is God to give back. To God to judge. So commit yourself to God. Commit those retorts and those slanders and those snubs, those attacks to Him. Trust God that God will be faithful to provide for your needs. Living in this, one way that we suffer, especially singles. This is a big one. For singles, living in this culture, as a Christian means I'm not going to give myself to a non-Christian as a spouse. I'm going to wait for a Christian person to get married to. And you suffer because of that. You have to say no to someone who looks good and talks to you real nice and is very prospective as a spouse but is not a believer. And you have to say no. And you have to wait. That is suffering. That's suffering I've experienced. Amen. But oh, brother and sister, if you would just commit yourself to God. Commit yourself and let Him bring you the 100,000-fold spouse who loves Jesus and has gold in their heart because they have a faith in God. Wait. And suffer well. Suffer well. Commit yourself to your faithful Creator. To your faithful Creator. Who is your faithful Creator? To say that He is your Creator means He made you. That means He's sovereign. That means it's His will, not yours. So you recognize that He is sovereign. He has the right to bring you through fire or through the flood or through a nice valley. Recognize that He is your faithful Creator. He is faithful. His steadfast love. Recognize his steadfast, unending, never giving up, always with you kind of love. That's the kind of love that will break through loneliness. It's the kind of love that breaks through depression. That's a steadfast. Oh, when you fall and when you feel like you're worthless, his steadfast love is what says, I forgive you, and child, you are mine. Get back up and get going. I'm your faithful Creator. We commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. We continue to do good. The last one there. Commit yourself to your faithful Creator and continue to do good. In other words, don't let persecution stop you. Understand that nothing can stop the work of Christ. Nothing can stop the work of Christ. People have been trying to put the church down, to destroy the church all these years. Nothing can stop the work of Christ. So continue to do good. Don't let hatred from one person stop you from giving love to another person. When somebody mistreats you, and you have that bitterness and that anger stuck inside your stomach, it comes out not against that person, but to maybe your wife, your kids, your coworkers, your subordinates. But no. Continue to do good. Don't let that negative relationship affect this one. Continue to do good. Keep praying. Keep seeking God for a godly husband and a godly wife. Find ways to worship and get fellowship in. For some of us, being a Christian in Japan means we work on Sundays. We can't because we can't go to church sometimes because our company has us working on these days. Pastor Kevin. And so what do? We don't stop doing good. We find ways to get our worship in. We find ways to get our Bible study, our fellowship, everything in on the other day of the week. We take it upon ourselves. We ask for prayer. We call people together. We do something to worship God, even if we can't do it on the Sunday. Okay, so how do we do that? What are the resources that we're given to do all these things? Well, it's all through the text, starting with verse 12. First thing we have is that we have an understanding that these persecutions, these difficulties, the suffering, it's normal. It's not out of the ordinary. Don't be surprised as though something strange were happening to you. Look, Jesus was eventually crucified by the world. We follow Jesus. Let me say that again. Jesus was crucified. We follow him. He says, look, if you want to follow me, get your own cross and get it good. So it's not a surprise. Don't be surprised. This is normal. If you're going through some difficulty, if it's hot, it's difficult. Not because, well, let me get back to that later. If because of your Christian, understand it's normal. Second resource, understand that you are not alone. Look at verse 13. It's the sufferings of Christ. It's his sufferings. It's his sufferings. What was his name? Yasutaro. They said, what should we tell your mother? He said, tell them I'm on the cross with Jesus. You are not suffering alone. Jesus was there. He is there with you. He's there with you. Get on your knees and pray until you hear his voice and say, child, I'm with you. I'm with you. You need to hear that. You need to. And some of us will just pray and we weep, God, I'm miserable. God, I can't take this. And you need to be quiet. You need to just stop, be quiet, and wait for the Lord, the psalmist says. Wait for the Lord. And let him, his voice come to you. It's his sufferings. You're not alone. Look at verse 14, our third resource. Understand that it is a blessing. Understand what the real meaning of blessing is. It says, you're blessed when you're insulted. He was actually just repeating what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, look, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. What do? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted prophets who were before you. That's the real meaning of blessing. I think blessing is, God, thank you for my house. God, thank you for thank you for my summer, my winter. I think I'm blessed. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you're insulted. Blessed are you when you suffer malign, bad treatment from others because of me. That's what blessing is, he says. What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, this morning I made some instant ramen. How do I know when the water is ready for me to put my noodles in there? When it's boiling, right? When it's just blubbing. That's when I know that water's ready for some noodles. And that's when I know I can use that water. When it's hot and when the heat is going through it enough. That water's blessed. I can now bless the water with my noodles and my sauce. Blessed are you when you suffer persecution for the name of Jesus, when it's hot, because Jesus can now use you. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But there's a blessing in there because God can use it. Our next resource, verse 14, recognized that different people react differently to the Spirit of God. Different people react differently to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of glory rests on you. The Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests on you. We are the light of the world, the city on the hill. People react differently to light, to certain kinds of light, but it's not the light's fault. You ever walk out of the movie theater? It's the middle of the day. Maybe 12, 2 o'clock. You've been in the dark theater the whole time. You walk out. Why does the sun have to be so bright, you think? And that's the same reaction that some people have towards us. Some people look at us. They see the light and the love. They're attracted to it. They want that. But for others, why do you have to be so bright? I was at work one time. Two coworkers started talking about another coworker. And I was like, guys, you need to stop. Please, can you stop? And I wasn't trying to say, this is evil. You're wrong. God is going to. I just said, guys, please, can you stop? And the person I will never forget. Chris, why do you have to be so self-righteous? Like, it's my fault. They're talking about somebody else. They react differently to light. But it's the Spirit of the glory of God. And so when you get it from somebody, realize it's the Spirit of God's glory. And people react to God's glory positively and negatively. You just got to keep giving up that glory. Keep shining for Jesus. That's the last one of the fifth resources. The last resources he gives, and it's a little bit difficult to understand, verse 16. Oh, no, excuse me, not the last. The fifth resource, verse 16. Experience the power of worship. It says, praise God, verse 16, that you bear that name. Also, look at verse 13. It says, rejoice. Praise God and rejoice. When you're going through difficulty and trial, you need to worship. I'm going to say it again. When you go through difficulty and trial, you need to worship God. Oh, my brother, my sister, you will have no better experience in worshiping God. You will have no deeper, more profound, more powerful worship experience than when it's very hard for you. When you've got nothing in the bank, when you've got no one around you, when you've got no clothes on your back, when you've got nothing to fall back on, that's the best time to worship. Amen? Why? Because the rest of us don't have what you have. The rest of us, we're worshiping God. We're saying, thank you for giving me my bonus. Thank you for giving me a ride. Thank you for giving me a decent job. Thank you for my Christian and husband or wife. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for what you... That's our worship. But for you who are worshiping and you have none of those things, you worship God because of who he is, not what he gives you. And that's the right way to worship. You're blessed. You've got a gift that none of us have. And you could say, God, I don't have anything. My family's messed up. My work situation is just about ruined. But Lord, I have you. I have you. You are my light. You are my love. You are my purpose. You, Jesus, are my joy. And you worship God. You praise him. Rejoice in that. There is nothing better. There is nothing better. Amen to that one. The last resource he gives us. He says, look at verse 17. Christians should be the first to experience the testing, trial, and difficulty. Christians should be the first one to go through difficulty. Verse 17, it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. What does that mean? Christians experience judgment, but not the way non-Christians do. Everybody gets judged. Everybody gets the wrath of God. We get it. Excuse me. We've given it to Jesus Christ. Jesus took the wrath for us. This is so important. Okay? Christians have gone through the wrath of God first through Jesus Christ. And so now the judgment of God is not punishment, it's purification. The world who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, the judgment on them is punishment for their past, for what they're doing. For the ones who believe in Jesus Christ and look to the cross, who trust in the cross, the judgment of God is our purification. It's what the Bible calls discipline. And it gets us ready for our future. The punishment is for them and their past, what they've done. We're done with that. We have Jesus Christ. Our past is done with. But we go through the judgment of God through discipline to prepare us for the next life, to prepare us for the next stage in our life, to get us ready, because God loves us so much. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, him whom he loves, he disciplines. Oh, thank you for your love, because it begins with the house of God first. And if it's hard for the righteous man to get saved, the righteous man gets saved. What will become of the sinner and the ungodly? Peter gives us those six resources. Rejoice, worship God, understand that God is disciplining you, understand that people respond to the light differently, understand that what you're going through is perfectly normal, understand that you're blessed and what real blessing is. Because we're going to go through it. We're not going to go through it like our brothers and sisters in Suwano. I went there and my life changed. It was the most powerful time in my life here. Not because I thought, oh man, I'm not worshiping, I'm not suffering like those Christians. I must not be a good Christian. It's not like that. God calls us all to different kinds of suffering. But it means I'm not just going to die for Jesus. I'm going to live differently for Jesus. Consider your life now. Consider it. Consider it. How is your faith? How is your worship? How is your testimony with Jesus Christ? Are you receiving his love? Are you receiving his grace? If not, oh, bring yourself to the cross right now and say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ who gets me through all of this. And come to him.